Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Steve Deace. That last name is spelled D-E-A-C-E. He's a talk show host, and he's also an author. And we're going to talk about the Roy Moore case. Now, I'm going to timestamp this interview. This discussion is taking place around 4 o'clock in the afternoon on November 29th, 2017. Perhaps by some of the airings, the cast will already be die, or the die will already be cast in terms of the vote for the Senate for the Alabama seat. And this is a very important case. We're going to talk about Roy Moore and some of the accusations against him. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
You bet, Jerry. Thank you for the time.
Sure. I'm going to go ahead and let you wax eloquent, but let me just say this. I personally have known Roy Moore since I first interviewed him in 1995, re-interviewed him then a few years later, and kept going back to Alabama as a TV producer for a Christian outlet and television. These are all television interviews, and also did some radio interviews as well. And I always found him to be a man of integrity. From everything I could tell, I interviewed his wife, Kayla. She was wonderful, delightful, just as he was. These accusations that came out November 9th, 2017, while he was in the midst of this, senatorial battle, surprised me. And they don't seem to fit the Roy Moore that I know, or that I thought I know. So now I'm going to go ahead and let you wax eloquent. I'm going to sit down and just listen to you.
Well, I've not known Roy as long as you have, but I've known him for several years. And you're right. These allegations are just completely out of character. Now, that doesn't mean they're not true. I mean, we have seen people that have fooled us in the past. And I understand the sentiment of those who say, well, how could all these women be lying? I understand why, if you don't know Roy Moore and you have read and heard the accounts of these allegations, why you would believe them. But I think, there's a proverb that says, one man's story seems true until you hear the other side. And so while I understand for those who don't know Roy Moore why it's difficult to believe all these women are lying, for those of us who do know Roy Moore, here's what is also difficult to believe, Jerry. Essentially, the narrative that we are being told here is that Roy Moore left rural Alabama to voluntarily go to Vietnam when many in his generation, including the current president and another former president, did everything they could to get out of it. Got accepted to West Point, which takes 1% of the 1%. Graduated with honors, which is 1% of 1% of 1%. And then after being a war hero and graduating from West Point, returned home to essentially become a sociopath, child predator, mall creeper from 1976 to 1981. And then for the next 35 years was so straight-laced he didn't remove even the tags off his mattresses. Now, I understand why people think, why would all these women be lying? But I also hope that those who all they know of Roy Moore are these allegations, take a look at the narrative that I just laid out, because that is the narrative. That is what we're being asked to believe, that he was a sociopath for about 5 years, and then it just all suddenly went away. And that doesn't even, by the way, Jerry, that doesn't even consider the other following facts. While this was supposedly going on, he was the district attorney and involved in controversy, because Roy's principles have gotten him into a lot of controversy over the years. He's in the local newspaper for those controversies at the time, and yet nobody came forward to say, hey, that's the local creeper at the mall guy. In 1994, he did something a Republican had not done in that county in Alabama since Reconstruction, and that is win an election as a circuit court judge. That same county, which supposedly now people are claiming they knew all along that this is who this guy was back from 1976 to 1981, they voted him for circuit court judge. They voted him for state Supreme Court justice twice. They voted him for governor. They voted him for senator.
Well, no, wait. They didn't vote for him as governor. I mean, but those issues didn't come out
He won that county in the gubernatorial race.
I see what you mean. You mean within Etowah County. Okay, I see.
With Etowah County. I'm only talking about that county. In fact, when he ran for Chief Justice The first time,
mm-hmm.
In 2000, he got the most votes statewide of any Republican in that election other than George W. Bush running for president.
Mm.
So now you're telling me that he was a sociopath for these 5 years when there's nothing in his record since then. Then you're telling me that he went back to the same community where he essentially was the alleged creeper, and these people knew about it, and they kept voting for him. When he was in a circuit court judge, Jerry, he was the State Bar Association went after him. And this was a very high-profile case. It was in all the papers all around the community. You mean to tell me no one came forward and said, hey, that's the crooked judge that was scamming young babysitters at the mall? This is all very hard to believe. I understand why it's hard to believe all these women are lying, but there's another narrative here that you also have to believe if you believe they're telling the truth that I think is just as difficult to accept on face value. And then you throw in this. There are two pieces of independent corroborating evidence that have been offered to reinforce the testimony of these allegations. The first is that he was banned from the mall. Well, that story has actually been debunked twice. That's not true. That story is not true. It's been debunked. So yeah, that leaves us with one independent piece of corroborating evidence, and that is the alleged yearbook that he signed. Now, my wife and I, before we when we were getting ready to have our first child and we found out it was going to be a girl, we pretty much, or after it became a girl when we had Anna, we pretty much watched every episode of To Catch a Predator that NBC aired. I don't know of a predator who signs his own name public official. Here's how you to leave a paper trail. That is worst sexual predator ever stuff. Okay, but let's assume that's true. Gloria Allred, the attorney, you know, we're taping this on a Wednesday, 15 days ago when that yearbook was presented by her into evidence, and for the last 15 days, it has been asked to offer the yearbook signature up for independent analysis. At the very least, they can find out if the ink, even if they can't necessarily pin his signature from 40 years ago exactly, they certainly have the technology to tell us how old the ink is on that yearbook. That would be something to independently corroborate her client's testimony. Well, in not one, but two different nationally televised interviews, one with Katie Turr on MSNBC and the other with Wolf Blitzer on CNN, when asked directly, is that Roy Moore's signature? Will you vouch for that? Gloria Allred, the attorney, has refused, just as she's refused for the last 15 days now, to offer this up to independent analysis. And the other reason that your book is so important, beyond it being the only independent piece of corroborating evidence provided, is the judge is openly saying, that's not my signature. So, you know, if you were in the judge's courtroom, Jerry, back in the 90s when he was a circuit court judge, and you were brought in on a criminal charge, and your defense attorney said, well, here's the alternative theory to explain the evidence outside of my client's guilt, and the first step in laying out that theory fell apart, what would happen to the rest of that defense? Probably Judge Moore would find you guilty, right? So If Judge Moore is going to say that this is definitely not me, that makes that yearbook, I think, undeniably important in corroborating one side story or the others. And yet the attorney in question here, Gloria Allred, will not put it up for independent verification. And so that's where we are. And I think that's why there's a lot of people that just aren't automatically believing this.
Well, let me jump in on a couple points here. I think that culturally there's a difference between, say, Alabama in the late 1970s than there would be modern America today. So therefore, the idea that he, when he was in his early 30s, may have sought out girls who were in their late teens to date with their mother's permission or with their parents' permission, that's culturally different than what we're used to. But I don't think that that there's any crime to that, and I think he has admitted as much, you know, indirectly to that. And that's where I think he came off, you know, a lot of the news commentators, even conservatives, one said, oh, you know, he did himself no favors on that Hannity interview. And I think the bottom line is he was just being honest, you know, that he did that. But where the real charge here is that this 14-year-old girl, when he was 32, that he tried to seduce her, and he's saying, no, that is not true. And I've even read articles where there are holes in some of the testimony around that. You know, like, for example, did she really live, quote-unquote, around the corner? It turns out it would have been a distance away. She would have had to even cross over a, you know, a highway, a major highway, and so forth. So The bottom line is the really obnoxious charges, including the one with the yearbook, which is, you know, that he allegedly tried to sexually advance himself against her wishes. That's very different than the idea of, you know, this young man trying to court people with this big age difference. I mean, hey, after all, Prince Charles married Lady Di, and as I understand it, she was in her late teens, and he was an older man in his 30s at the time.
Well, then I also, you have to tell me that Mitch McConnell and his goon squad spent $30 million over the course of this last year to destroy Mo Brooks and Roy Moore in that primary. And all along, all they had to do was go visit the food court at the Gadsden County Mall. That's all we had to, that's all he had to do. Again, there's a lot of things here we're being asked to believe that are just, when you put them all together, are just as difficult to for people to accept at face value as it is for people to accept that all these women are lying. And that's why, to me, the yearbook is of ultimate importance, the signature on the yearbook.
Yeah.
Because that's the only independent piece of corroborating evidence. I mean, that it's a damning piece of evidence. It's why you saw Ted Cruz and others the day that that came out was the day they ceased their support for the judge. Because that's what moves this beyond a he said, she said.
Right.
There really aren't too many good reasons for an adult male unless, you know, I teach high school kids, so I've signed my share of yearbooks. But outside of that, really not too many good reasons for an adult male to be signing a teenage girl's yearbook that he's not related to. You know, so to me, the yearbook signature is probably the only way we're going to come to some form of independent corroboration of the credibility of one side or another. And I just as people want to say, hey, the judge said he was going to sue the Washington Post and he hasn't sued him yet, so that must mean he's afraid of discovery. I understand why people think that. But, you know, we have to also then grant the other side's position, too, which is how credible is the yearbook signature if Gloria Allred won't put it up for independent analysis? And then we're just essentially left with this. You know, the ultimate jury trial probably that we're going to get in this case is a jury of your peers. And in this case, who is that? That's the electorate of Alabama, and they're ultimately going to get to decide on December the 12th who they believe.
Yeah, that's a very, very, very good point. And, you know, for example, another example of a hole in the story, the 14-year-old girl, or she was 14 at the time, that's what the claim is, that he attempted to seduce her, and here he was 32 years old, I believe, and she claimed that she was in her bedroom talking with him on the telephone. Well, her own mother has contradicted that, saying, you know, I'm sorry, we're talking about 79, and she didn't have a phone in her bedroom. That was before cell phones, and we didn't have a cordless phone. You know, we didn't have a phone in her bedroom. So there's an obvious, discrepancy there.
And I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be a parrot, but that, to me, as Christians, I think we should always be calls and voices for clarity. And when we get into subjectivism is when that's not our jam, as the kids say today. We're not good at that game. And that's the world's game, and we will lose it more times than not. And even when we win, we still lose because we're advancing the world's game. We like clarity. We like things cut and dried as much as possible. We can't probably get, unless there's some other piece of evidence that has emerged between the time you're airing this and when we taped this interview, the only possible clarity other than you believe the women or you believe the judge. And I've heard people say, well, how all these women, the volume of accusers is what convicts him. Well, he's actually put forth many more character witnesses than accusers. So volume doesn't matter. Veracity does. The only way I think we're going to come to any clarity on this, unless something has transpired between when you and I discuss this now and when you air it, is that yearbook. And I really think people ought to be demanding Gloria Allred turn. And this is what I propose to my audience, Jerry, because she has said, well, I'll turn it over to the U.S. Senate if they hold a hearing. Nobody believes the U.S. Senate, and they shouldn't. I mean, these people just lied to us for 8 years about repealing Obamacare. All right. Here's what needs to happen. What needs to happen is Gloria Allred needs to put forth their best expert. Team Roy Moore needs to put forth their best expert, and then the duly elected attorney general of the state of Alabama should put forth theirs. A panel of three, so we have an odd number, and we again come to some clarity. It ought to be handled within the state of Alabama in front of the witnesses of the people of Alabama, not Mitch McConnell's kangaroo court. All right. So that's what I proposed to my audience, and I proposed on the air numerous times. I think that's a very reasonable solution.
Excellent.
And I see this as a friend of the judge's who has endorsed his candidacy. It would break my heart if this was true. I have a hard time believing it is, but it would break my heart if it is. And if it is, then I will say I can't support this.
Right.
But this is the clarity that I think we need. And she has the power, Ms. Allred has the power to grant it to us, and we're on 15 days now that she has refused to do so.
All right, Steve Deese, thanks so much for being with us. SteveDeese.com. Deese is spelled D-E-A-C-E. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Merry Christmas.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.